Hebrews 11:11. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Oh, glory to God. I was sharing on this in the offering time, and it just kept stirring in me. I'm talking about Sunday morning, and it just kept stirring in me that we need to share more on this. We're going to talk tonight about judging God. And that might sound like something, oh, you gotta not judge God. And that there's we're going to address that side of it also tonight. But this verse, the people say, well, you shouldn't judge God. Every person on the planet right now is judging God. Yes. One way or another. They're judging him unfaithful, judging him faithful. They're judging him wrong. They're judging him not true, his word not true. You know, they're judging him as mean, or judging that he doesn't even exist. You know,
yeah. Yeah.
So it's not a matter. People say don't judge. And the Bible says, judge, he said, judge not or you'll be judged. We understand that. But the Bible also says, judge not according to appearances, but judge righteous judgment. You can't really go through this life without judging. The warning is against judging other people, and especially when you don't have all the information, which is 100% of the time. Right. Why do you say 100% of the time? Because you don't know their heart. You don't know what God was dealing with them about for the last 30 years. You know, somebody died prematurely and it wasn't God's will. You don't know. You can't judge. You just don't know. So there's just a lot of things you and I can't judge. But really, you can't go through life without judging. And if you analyze the word judge, you just have to understand what judge means. To judge really basically means to examine the evidence and to make or come to a conclusion or come to a verdict. You know, that's what judging is. How many of you know when a judge is over a case of law, they're examining all the evidence and then they have to make a decision. That's one of the words that's big when it comes to judging is decision. Make a decision. And you have to do that every day about a lot of things. I mean, you have to decide, can I get through that light before it turns red, you know? Yeah, I'm just... Well, that seemed to hit a tender spot, but... So you're judging all day long. You're judging, you know, it's time to go eat. There's just a whole lot of things. You're examining the evidence. I'm hungry. My belly's growling. What time? It's got to be time. Yeah, it's time. I'm going to eat. You're deciding. But the warning is not to do these things. He said, judge not according to appearances, but judge righteous judgment. So there's a lot of things that we are not to judge because we don't have all the information. Now, when it comes to judging God, really what we're going to talk about tonight is maybe a battle that people go through. Satan brings accusations against God to your mind. He brings thoughts to your mind against God. You know, well, I stood on the word and God didn't come through for me. You know what I'm talking about? Or we were praying for that person and they died. And he'll bring thoughts that, you know, and that might be the fact, but Satan will bring thoughts to your mind against God, accusing him of being unfaithful. He didn't do what he said he would do. You understand? He wasn't fair. I mean, he did it for that person, but he didn't do it for this person. Come on now. We're talking down where rubber meets the road. And there's a lot of situations you're going to encounter in life that you're not going to understand, especially about other people. You realize God's not going to share everything with you concerning all that happened in that situation. The Bible said in Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret thing belongs to the Lord. But that which he hath revealed is for us and for our children forever. There are things about other people that God won't tell you. And you should be thankful for that, because that means that's the way he'll treat you too. He won't hang your dirty laundry out to everybody's, for everybody's view. Amen. You should be thankful. But so we're going to address this issue tonight. People get into a lot of whys. And they start, and sometimes the whys have an accusative tone to them. And it's a dead end road. We're going to talk about that tonight. And so what you hear tonight, you might not need right now, but you will at some point encounter a test or a trial, something that just doesn't seem to ever work out right. And you're going to have questions. And you're going to have to make sure and not judge God according to appearances, but judge righteous judgment. Now, to judge righteously, you have to gather all the evidence. Amen. Amen. And you have to decide based on all the evidence, true or false, yes or no, so forth and so on, guilty, not guilty. And without examining the word on any situation, you don't have all the evidence.
Right. Amen. Amen.
You understand? You and I have to be constantly washed in the water of the word to stay out of falsely accusing God. Because things can appear. You can look at certain situations, maybe in your life or another situation in somebody else's life, and say, God just was not fair. He did not do what he said he would do. But let me tell you something that'll never happen. There will never be a person appear at the judgment seat of Christ, point their finger in God's face, and say, you didn't do what you promised you would do. Let me tell you what the first few hundred years of eternity is going to be like for you. And me.
Yes, sir.
So I'm not just talking about you and me. For the first few hundred years, it's going to be something like this. Oh, I see. Oh, I understand that now. Oh, well, of course. Yeah, of course. And after a few hundred years of that, we'll start maybe knowing a little bit. Amen. So if you haven't encountered this in your life, you might have encountered it in the past, but if you haven't, you will at some point have to judge God right. When you're pressured and the devil's hounding you, trying to lie to you about God. Even if you haven't experienced this or don't think you ever will, you will encounter, in fact, you have already in life encountered many, many people who have fallen for this trap of the enemy. Amen. And so you need to be equipped to help them. So pay attention tonight. Amen. So really what he Sarah here received, notice Sarah herself received, underline received. She received because she judged him right. What does that mean? People that judge him wrongly or say, God didn't do what he said he would do. He's not faithful. He's unfair, whatever. People that judge him falsely don't receive. So to continue to receive, stay out of judging God wrongly.
Yes.
What does that mean? Judging God by your experience.
Yes.
You will have many experiences in this life that you might not understand everything about it. You might not know why it happened. Are you with me tonight?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And to be honest, it might take you years of spiritual growth to grow and then be able to hear what you need to hear. I've had situations where it took me growing more before I understood. But when I understood, I wept. And I, of course, it was never God all along. Do you know John 15 says that when we are, he said, you're clean through the word. Which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me and my words abide in you. You ask, you will, so forth. That's talking about abiding in Jesus as the vine. Remember, he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abides in me bears much fruit. And he mentions five different fruit bearing levels. No fruit, fruit, more fruit, much fruit, and fruit that remains. And the end of it talks about your prayer life, talking about asking and whatever you ask, you receive. So he's talking about getting to the place where you always receive. Because John 15:7 said, you abide in me, my words abide in you, you ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Not 50% of the time, not 75%, not 99%, 100% of the time. But that doesn't happen whenever you're at the level of fruit.
Right. Right.
It happens as you continue to grow fruit, more fruit, much fruit, fruit that remains. You keep on. So there's levels of fruit bearing, or levels of getting what you ask, or receiving what you ask, or getting answers to prayer. Because there are levels of being washed by the water of the Word from wrong thinking, wrong believing. You know what I'm talking about? You can go for years with wrong thinking and sit in a service where the Word is preached and you go, oh my goodness, I've been believing wrong about God for 25 years. See, we don't base our doctrine on our experience or other people's opinion or other people's experience or something we don't understand. We base our doctrine on the Word of God. Your experience down here will not be perfected until you're perfected. Or I'm not going to be having a perfect experience until I'm perfected. What do I mean perfected? I mean the right thinking. Right believing. A lot of people believe they're going to receive whenever they see. That's wrong thinking. That's just one example. So let's look at this. Sarah, she judged him faithful. Now, what is this? This is faithfulness is referring to somebody's character. The devil doesn't attack people as much about what God said as he does against his character. Or, let's put it this way, he doesn't attack God's ability. In other words, when I say attack, I mean accuse him in order to bring doubt and unbelief to your mind and to your heart about his ability. He doesn't, God, most people, you ask them on the street, can God do this or that? They'll all say, oh yeah, God can do anything. But will he do it for you right now? Oh, man. You know, and that there's a lot of doubt there. Why is that? Because If Satan can undermine somebody's confidence in God's character, he's pulled the rug out of their entire faith life. What do I mean, God's character? His character. Let me ask you, in order to answer that, let me ask you a question. Would you rather I doubt your ability to do something or your willingness to do something? Ask yourself that question. Which one would you rather me doubt? You would rather I doubt your ability, because why? That doesn't have anything to do with your character. But if I doubt your willingness, now that has something to do with your character. And that's much more damaging to my faith in you than anything about your ability. Does that make sense? You understand that? And so Satan attacks this. When God said here that Sarah received because she judged him faithful, she's counting him faithful means she's looking at his character and she's saying his character is good, his integrity is good. If he said it, he will do it. See, faith is not just based on knowing what he said. It's based on knowing the character of the one who said it. You have to get established in the fact that God and his word, God's word has integrity in it. Why? Because he has integrity. Do you know if your word is no good, you're no good? But if you always do exactly what you say, that reveals your character. Amen. And she got to the place, she judged him as, because they had a promise from God. This is talking about Isaac, you know, being born. And so she said, he's faithful. She judged him faithful who had what? Promise. In other words, not just can he do what he said, but does he have the character to back that up? Will he follow through with what he promised? That is one of the strong legs or strong pillars underneath your faith life that has to be in place. If you don't know he's faithful to what he said, you don't have any ability to trust him. You don't trust people. No, you shouldn't trust people who you don't know for sure of their character. Right? Even employers today, they'll make sure, they'll go on social media and try to figure out a little bit about somebody's character. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. They ought to know a little bit about somebody that, you know, have they left the last seven jobs and just quit and be, you know. Well, anyway, I don't have to get into that. But see, God's character is good, but Satan will assail it in your thinking and in your believing. Amen. So really, truly, to walk by faith, you have to know more than just what God said. You have to know the character of the one who said it. You have to know the character of the one you're trusting. You know, this is where people, they get funny in their thinking about the love walk. A man cheats on his wife, and he repents and says, I'm sorry. She forgives him. Then he does it again. I mean, he commits immorality again against his wife. And he says, please forgive me. Well, she might the second time. But if he does it the third time, he says, please forgive me. I won't do it again. Why would I trust you that you won't do it again? Now you're saying, well, you need to forgive me. You need to forgive me. There's a difference between forgiving and trusting. You can forgive somebody, but you don't trust them at all. Because they have undermined that trust. See, here's what God has never done. He has never done anything to undermine our trust. But the devil accuses him of it. Are you still out there? This has to be a strong pillar under your faith that God is faithful. God cannot lie. We could go through verse after verse on the integrity of his word tonight. The Bible said, has he said it? Will he not do it? Has he spoken and will it not come to pass? Samuel said, God didn't let one of his words fall to the ground. And you could go through, there's so many verses. The Bible talks about, my covenant will I not break nor alter the thing that has gone out of my mouth. And we could go to verse after verse. You need to be strong on the integrity of God's word. I said, you need to be strong on the integrity of God's word. You can stand on it. You can count on it. You can take it to the bank. You know what I mean? Hallelujah. How many of you know whenever he said, call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved? If you'll believe in your heart and not doubt, but confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. You did that, and he was faithful. I heard about the baptism in the Holy Ghost and how to receive it. I did it, and I received. He was faithful. Amen. And the word that I have practiced, and he said there's certain promises connected to you do this, I'll do this. You put first the kingdom of God, and I'll add all these things. I've done that. He has been faithful. He has been faithful. Hallelujah. He has been faithful. He is being faithful, and he will always. He can't help himself. That's just who he is. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So Hebrews 11:11, she's in the hall of fame of faith, like we said on Sunday. But how'd she get in there? Amen. When you read, she judged him faithful. When you read stories in the Bible, I like what Oral Roberts said. He said, when stories are told in the Bible, they're aimed at you and me. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. What does that mean? That it's not just story time with God.
No.
When we read about blind Bartimaeus, when we read about Joshua and Caleb, when we read about David and we read about Abraham, we read about Gideon, and here we're reading about Sarah. Those are not just story times with God before bedtime. These are telling you and I something. Amen. In other words, these stories are God speaking to us today. Brother Hagin used to always say that. The word is God speaking to me today. You need to. You always read the word like that. Don't read it as a history book. Read it as God's talking to me right now. She judged him faithful. Guess what? If I do what she did, I'll get what she got. And so I'm not going to say, God, you didn't come through for me. God, you didn't come through for my brother. God, you didn't come through for... I'm not going to say that. I might not understand everything. I might not know all the details, but I do know this. You were faithful. I said, you got to stay on God's side. You need to get real good at staying on God's side. Some people are so quick when something doesn't work out, they want to get miffed at God or offended at God or angry at God and leave the church and leave the message of faith or leave people that love them. Or listen to this. When somebody else does something that offends them, they get mad at God for something somebody else did. That's not even common sense. Amen. 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 If I get in my car tonight, or I go to get in my car tonight, and there's Tim Shineman running off with a knife, and all my tires are sliced, I'm not going to get mad at Brother Matt.
That's right. Makes no sense.
Makes no sense.
No.
I'm not mad. He's the dude. And when somebody else does you wrong, even if they're a believer, don't get mad at God. Somebody else might have denied him, but he cannot deny himself. He remains faithful. I just quoted a verse. The Bible says that. Don't let other people's doings tell you, decide what you're going to, you know, how you're going to approach God. Are you out there tonight? I'm having a good time. No intelligent person would get mad at the only one that can help you. There's so many situations. Nobody else can help you but God. What fool gets mad at the one who can help them? But you can't get his help siding against him. You have to stay on his side. Oh, I'm glad I came tonight. Hallelujah. So here's Sarah. She's in this chapter because God wants you to get something out of her story. God's trying to say to you, don't side in against God. Even if you don't understand. See, she didn't have children for years. She's probably trying to understand why. But she said, okay, he's faithful. I don't understand, but he's faithful. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. And notice that word receive. She received. You might want to underline that. She received because she judged God faithful. Isn't that interesting? You and I are supposed to judge God. But you got to do it with all the evidence. What are the evidence? All through the Bible. The Bible's called the righteous judge of all the earth. Hallelujah. And we have all these stories, story after story after story after story. People that trusted him. And he came through. Every single time. You don't see any stories in here. They trusted God and they failed to receive. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me tonight?
Yes, sir.
So here's what I want you to see. Without all the evidence, you're gonna incomplete evidence. And a lot of people have accepted wrong evidence. Then you're going to judge God wrong. You understand what I'm talking about? So, just get real good at staying on God's side. And it's a fight sometimes. I said, it's a fight sometimes. It'll seem like all the evidence. You need to keep going back to the evidence. The devil will lie through sight. He will lie through experiences. He will lie through the experiences of others. Amen. There's only one source of correct knowledge, and it's not your thinking. Do you know because you think it or because I think it doesn't make it so? Doesn't make it so. What makes it so is whether it's so. Well, we just don't know how to know what's so. Well, go to the Word. Thy Word is truth. The word truth literally means reality. The reality is he's faithful. Hallelujah. And so it's not our thinking. It's not our experiences in this world. It's not the experiences of others. Not the opinions of other people. I've come to the place I really don't care anymore what people think. Amen. And a lot of things I don't think much about.
Yeah.
Well, what about so-and-so? You preach healing. What about so-and-so? I don't know. I don't have all the evidence. I don't know their heart. I don't know what they're believing. I don't know if they said amen in church and went home and made funeral plans. I don't know. And why get all worked up about something you don't know? Just doesn't make any sense to me. I got to the place, I don't even take these things into my heart and mind anymore. If the Lord starts prompting me to pray a little bit, he wants to tell me something, which he has done. Not always, but sometimes he said, I want to train you on this. I want to train you on something here. So he starts telling me something. Fine. But otherwise, I don't really have the right to know. It's not my life. And I don't base my doctrine on their experience. I don't even base my doctrine on my own experience. I align my experience. I believe the word so that I can bring my experience into line with the word. Amen. But one thing I don't need to do anymore is kind of get miffed at God. You know what I'm talking about? That will affect me receiving. That's what this verse is telling us. If we want to continue to receive, we can't side in against God and kind of like start pointing a finger at him and with an accusative tone in our voice. Do you know you can ask, but especially in your own life, you can ask why? But if you have to do it with humility. Not with an accusation in your voice. Well, why, God? You know, it's just sort of...
Wrong.
The enemy has already... That kind of tone tells us the enemy has already been working on you. And you didn't even know it. He'll always lie about God. Why? Because he's trying to get you to count him unfaithful, which pulls the rug out of all your faith. Out from under all your faith. You know, somebody that I prayed for didn't receive. I loved what Oral Roberts said one time. Somebody asked him, they said, what if you pray for somebody and they die? What are you going to do? And he said, I'll say next. I love that. What is he saying? I don't know why they didn't receive. I don't live with them in their house. I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know what they're saying. I don't know what they might have made funeral plans. Well, see, I've learned that people say the right things in front of the preacher. You know what I'm talking about? In fact, I've learned some of you say the right things in front of us. But when you're interacting with leadership, I'm talking about department heads, you're a different bird. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm like, really? They did that? They're always sweet around me. Of course, that. You know, they're sweet around the preacher. People change. You ever notice people change around preachers? I got on an airplane one time, sat down. I'm trying to have a, you know, don't talk to me kind of time. And these ladies were, there was one of those, Southwest Airlines, seats facing one another. And, you know, there's six seats there kind of in that little galley. And they don't come up here, so many of you don't know. But anyway, well, I sat down in that, and I put my feet on one across here, and I put my books here. I'm trying to just say, I don't want to talk to anybody today, you know. You've never done that, right? See, Southwest is first come, first serve. And I'm saying, first come, first take them all, you know. But they got on. They say, are these seats empty? Well, you can't lie. Yeah, they're empty. So they all sat down. They're on their way. Found out they're going their way to Vegas, and they're having it. They're hooping it up. They're all between 60, maybe 50 and 65 or something like that. About four of them. They're all cussing and drinking and talking dirty about men and women. Men. And I'm just sitting there trying to tune out, you know. And so one of them leaned over to me. So what do you do for a living? I wanted to try to think of something else, but I said, I'm a minister. Oh, we go to church, and they all changed their tune. I mean, it just, they were all saints after that. But I'm just saying, Oral Roberts said, what, if somebody doesn't receive, what does he do? He says next. That's what I'm talking about. I'm simply saying they might put on a good front for me, but they might not really have taken hold of it in their heart. That does not change his belief in God's will to heal all. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So stay. No intelligent person would side in against God when things aren't working out. Because what that does, have you ever noticed When you get miffed at your spouse, now just keep looking straight ahead. But you get miffed at your spouse, they can keep talking, but you don't hear what they're saying. Because you got miffed and you turned them out. You tuned them out. You changed channels. Right? Well, why do we... Listen. I'm not just talking about marriage. If that happens when you and your spouse had a discussion, then why do we... And you don't hear anymore. Why do we think if we get miffed at God, we're gonna hear anymore? No, we get miffed at God. We don't hear him anymore. And guess what? In order to continue to bear fruit in that situation, because how many of you know where you've not been getting fruit or bearing fruit? He can get you some understanding, make some adjustments, and then you can start bearing fruit. But you have to be able to hear. But you can't hear all miffed. Angry at God. Not everybody that's angry at God is saying, I am mad at God. They just, in their heart, have sort of tuned him out. Well, I'm not going to trust him anymore. He was unfaithful to me. I mean, he let my grandma die. You know, before time or whatever. You know what I'm talking about? So, you know, they can preach healing all they want, but yeah. God's unfaithful. They're not saying it out loud, but in their heart, they've tuned him out. And that person will never receive. It's a trap. Don't fall for the devil's trap. Hallelujah. Keeps you from hearing what you need to hear. Because in order to make the adjustments, first of all, faith comes by hearing. But second of all, to make the adjustments in order to get out of that hole you're in, you have to be able to hear to make the adjustments. If you don't know what to... Listen, every time you can receive everything he promised you, and you can receive every single time. And if you've not received or haven't been receiving, you can make adjustments and start receiving. But you can't if you're mad at God and have judged him unfaithful. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, then so just get rid of the accusative tone. Well, God, notice it didn't say she received because God. Right. I'm talking about Hebrews 11:11. By faith, Sarah received strength to conceive seed because she judged. She received because she. Not because God sovereignly took a liking to her. Come on now. She received because she. A lot of people are saying, well, I didn't receive because God. No, you didn't receive because of you. Well, that's hard. It might be a little stout for some people, but that is reality. I said that is reality. Now, you can get mad at that. You can stomp off at that. Miffed. Without. Amen. I said you can. It's a free country. Amen. God gives you free will. But you can also do without. Stay on God's side. Say it out loud three times. Say it out loud three times. I'm going to stay on God's side. I'm going to stay on God's side. I'm going to stay on God's side. That just means I'm not going to side against him and start saying, well, God, you. No, I'm going to say, I might not understand everything. And I might even have tears in my eyes when I'm saying it. But you're faithful. But you're faithful. But you're faithful. Help me to see what I need to see. Why is it that imperfect beings, frail, imperfect beings, imperfect in their thinking, imperfect in their believing, imperfect in the flesh, accuse the only one who's never failed? If something didn't work out, it's always the one who is perfect's fault. That doesn't make sense. But the devil will have you doing things that don't make sense. Just don't make sense. Amen. She received because she judged him faithful. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Notice, you got it. You can ask why. Say, we need to address this a little bit. You can ask why, but you have to do it in humility. You have to be ready for the answer. And sometimes he won't answer you right away because it's like telling a three-year-old things about whatever, algebra or something. They just wouldn't understand. And there are things you and I, I'm growing up spiritually. Yeah, and there's still things you and I, all of us, God would like to say to us. Remember Jesus said, there are things I long to say to you, but you can't bear them now. Well, why doesn't he just tell me? Well, why don't you just tell your three-year-old about algebra? Yeah. They don't, at that stage of development, they don't have the capacity. Amen. But listen, he's faithful. Yes, he is. He's faithful. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you can ask why humbly, but don't ask why. Yeah. It has an accusation in it. Yeah. Isn't that right? It questions his character. I'm sure at times there's tears in Jesus' eyes. He longs to do so much for people. But he's not able to. Amen. So, praise the Lord. Do you know that Sarah talks here about she judged him faithful? You know she didn't start out there? The Bible makes it plain she laughed at first. Right? So she didn't start out there. That's good news for you and I. You and I might have gone halfway down the road of accusing God, not going to trust him anymore, don't believe his word, he doesn't have integrity, can't count on him. We can go halfway down that road and say, wait a minute. I'm looking up ahead and there's nothing but more bondage. And it's a road I don't want to be on. And you can, like Sarah, she didn't start out where she was, but she got to the place she counted faithful. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. And so that's the moment she made that adjustment. That's what, according to this verse, Hebrews 11:11, by faith Sarah received strength to conceive seed when she was past age because she judged him faithful. It implies that as soon as she judged him faithful, as soon as she got past, well, it never has happened, and that's impossible, and God's not faithful, and so forth. As soon as she got past that, that's when the strength came. That's when the strength came. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Praise be to God. Do we understand everything in this life? No. Can God get you the information you need in this life? Yes. But not by siding against him. Those years of siding against him are years of silence. Not because God doesn't want to share, but because you're not in position. Amen. There are millions of people that don't receive the new birth. Aren't there? Are we going to stop preaching the new birth? There are even more that don't receive healing. Well, then that healing message just isn't true. No. God just, he heals some, doesn't heal. Does the Bible say, by his stripes we are healed? He's faithful. I know of preachers right now that have changed their doctrine. I won't call them out, but they've changed their doctrine because of some kind of experience. I don't know why my son died premature. It must not be God's will. And they just kind of, listen, if you're going to leave the message of faith, all you've got is sovereignty. God just picking and choosing. You understand? And that's a dark, dark life. He's faithful. We don't base our doctrine on experience. Amen. 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 Praise God. Now, Paul said we see through a glass darkly, didn't he? So, excuse me. If Paul said we see through a glass darkly, I remember Brother Hagin making a statement. He said, the more I know, the more I learn, from the Bible, the more I know, the more I see I need to know. So if spiritually mature men of that caliber say, we still know so little, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Then, we know in part and so forth and so on. Then if Paul knew in part, then a lot of folk today know part of the part of the part. Amen. I mean, you just start talking to them about the authority of the believer, and they go tilt. They just, you know what I'm talking about? Then they wonder why things are, well, see, the enemy took advantage. Remember, Satan has advantage over lack of knowledge. 2 Corinthians 2:9, is it, or 11, I mean, maybe. Amen. Well, so praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I'm learning more of the part of the part. So, amen. Well, Pastor, I'm walking in all the light I have, so forth and so on. I'm not receiving. What do I do? Keep on seeking God. Yes. Yep. Walk in the light you have, but keep reaching for the light. Yes. He's faithful. Not only is he faithful, he'll not only be faithful to do what he said in his word, he'll be faithful to you to get you the knowledge you need if you're sincere. If you're honest and you really want it. And you're not saying blah, 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 blah to whatever he has to say. That's not sincerity. How many of you know with God, there's nothing he can't say to us. There's nothing we, you know, there's nothing blah, 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 blah. Don't talk to me about my marriage. Don't talk to me about the way I'm treating somebody. Don't talk to me about how I cheated that person. No. It has to be completely whatever he wants to say. Whatever he brings up. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, what if somebody died believing God? Well, you wouldn't want to die anyway else. So when you stand before Jesus, you're going to say, Lord, I was believing you. And he'll say, I know, honey, come here. you were walking in all the lights you had. Come here. Isn't that right? Have you ever watched your children? They've seen you do something. And so they're going to do it. And so you let them do it. And in their mind, they're doing it. But you know, they're letting off a whole lot of stuff that they don't understand. Right? Amen. They're a whiz bang. You know what I'm talking about? They, whoo, I'm doing it. I'm tying my, you know, they see you tie your shoes. So they want to tie their shoes. And they just, and in their mind, they're tying their shoe. But in your mind, you're saying, that's not really tying your shoe. That's the way God is with us sometimes. In our mind, we're doing it. But that's just in our mind. How many of you know you need to walk in all the lights you have and do it with all your heart? Go to Philippians 3. There's a verse that we need to all look at tonight. A promise. Somebody say, we don't have promises. We got fulfillments. There's a lot of fulfillments, but there are still promises in the New Testament. Here's a promise. Look at Philippians 3. Oh, I like this one. Philippians chapter number 3. I'm going to have to find the verse myself. Hallelujah. Are you on God's side?
Yes, sir.
Philippians 3, this is after Paul said, we press, we reach, you remember, toward the prize of the high calling of God and so forth and so on. Then he says, I count, verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended, but I forget those things which are behind, reach for those things which are behind, before I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then verse 15, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Now, in other words, all of us need to reach for all that we know and believe God. But notice what he said. And if in any wise or in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. That's a promise.
Yes.
But it's not a promise for people that aren't walking in the light they have. You walk in the light you have, and you have a promise. You should stand on this. That if there's something I don't know that I need to know, he said, he'll reveal this to me. I'm walking in all the, I'm doing it with all my heart.
Yeah.
I'm not half-hearted. I mean, as far as I know, I'm believing God.
Right.
And you're doing it with all your heart. You know, if you're lacking in anything, he promised. He'll reveal that to you.
That's right. Amen.
That's a good promise.
Yes.
You should stand on that.
Yes.
And guess what? When the new light comes, or the extra light comes, or the additional light comes,
right,
receive it.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. That's right.
As you continue to receive what he says, you'll abide in him. That's 1 John. 1 John talks about that. Hallelujah.
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 Praise the Lord. I'm just having a good time tonight.
Amen.
So no matter who else accuses God, blasphemes and rails on God and says he's unfaithful or he doesn't even exist or whatever, just know he's still faithful. They've denied him. I don't know where that verse is. You got to look it up before you go home tonight. If somebody denies him, he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. That's a verse in the Bible. Hallelujah. When we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we see as, because now we see in part, but then we'll know as we are known. When we see all the realities of everything that was going on in every situation, we're going to find out he was more merciful and more gracious to us than we would have even asked him to be. Hallelujah. We're just going to go, wow. Whoo, God, you were good. You were good. Woo, you were good. You were merciful. You were faithful. You helped me. I kind of bumbled over that and didn't quite hear what you were saying and made my own, put my own thoughts on it, whatever. But man, you were good. Even in spite of myself. Hallelujah. He's good to all, the Bible says. Amen. But see, Satan will accuse God to you in order to undermine your faith. That's what the devil hates you being in faith. He hates you trusting God. Amen. So he'll try to use these situations you don't understand. And he'll try to get you to side a little against him. Amen. People that I know of specific stories. People that used to preach real strong. God, that he's the same yesterday and forever. That he's a healer today, just like he was. He took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. It's all in the same covenant. They used to preach all that, and that healing is just as much available to all as provision of remission of sins is for all.
Yes.
Used to preach that strong.
Yes.
And their son died prematurely. You know, 30s. I think the 30s. This one story. And they changed their doctrine. Well, do you know, they didn't change their doctrine because an amended version of the Bible fell out of heaven. And to sit on the front, updated covenant. Huh? No. No, they just changed. God didn't change. They just now preach it's all up to God and they preach sovereignty, really. Well, because there's no responsibility there. And it's a way of people, kind of, it's an out for people. It releases them of their responsibility. Amen. Have some humility. Humility and faith are pals. Listen, if there's something I need to know, Lord, I want to know it. And even if it shows that I just really wasn't believing God, I just want to know it. Acknowledge your shortcomings, but don't blame God. Amen. Brother Hagin had a situation. I believe it was his sister. I could be wrong, but a relative who he was praying for and believing God for and so forth. Which, by the way, more people frustrate their faith believing for others than they ever do themselves. You need to know that, because you don't know. People can mouth the right words and, you know, sound like they're in faith, but, you know, just because a parrot says by his stripes I'm healed doesn't make him a faith parrot. Faith is of the heart. Anyway, Brother Hagin was endeavoring to pray for, I think it was his sister, and they ended up dying prematurely. Brother Hagin was just sort of talking to the Lord about it, see if there's anything that the Lord wanted to say to him. And he had a vision. He was caught up to heaven. And there he is standing in heaven. And there's I believe it was his sister, if I'm right. And Jesus talking. Yeah. Sister's back was to him. He walked up to his sister and the vision. And of course, Jesus looked up at him. And then, of course, you know, you're talking to somebody and they look at somebody, you can see. And so they turned around. His sister turned around. And Brother Higgins, I believe it was his sister, said, Brother Hagin, or Ken was his name to her, don't feel bad that you couldn't pray the prayer of faith for me. There was a reason. And then the vision disappeared. He still doesn't know why. He just knew there was a reason. And the Lord spoke to him and said, I gave you that so you could just know that there was a reason. And that was between her and me, not you and her. There's nothing you failed at. And the Lord said to him, don't ever entertain it in your thought life again.
That's right. Amen.
That's where people mess up right there. They start thinking about, well, boy, I guess you can't always trust God. And look, with other people, you don't know. With me, I can know. Do you know you, in your life and me in my life, we have the right to know. And we can know if we'll be sincere, humble, and stay in faith. He'll bring us to that knowledge. We just read a verse he said he would. Praise God. Well, what about other people? They seem to not receive. That has nothing to do with you. You know, if I plant peas this year and you plant corn, I shouldn't cry because I didn't get any corn this year. If people plant doubt and unbelief and get nothing, and I plant faith and get healed, they shouldn't cry because they didn't get healed. They should say, I didn't plant healing seed. Because God's word is faithful. He will be faithful to his word. But see, it's not faithful hanging out here in the air. It's faithful when I plant it in my heart. I believe it. I receive it. I act on it. Oh, God's word is full of integrity. Hallelujah. 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 A lot of folks just kind of mouth faith. Principles, they don't really have a good foundation of these things. They don't really understand the message of faith. That's why it's not enough just to come to a crusade. You got to have a local church where you're constantly washed in the water of the word. Amen. Well, faith failed. No, faith never fails. Real faith never fails because real faith is based on his word, which never fails. We can fail to use our faith. That's what Jesus was talking about with Peter. I prayed for this, your faith fell not. He's not saying that faith ever fails. He's saying that you not give up your faith, which he almost did. Isn't that right? He denied Jesus. Amen. So this is good preaching. Tell your neighbor, I'm getting a lot out of this. Amen. A lot of people don't do this because what I'm preaching tonight, walking by faith and letting God talk to you and keep advancing and so forth. A lot of people don't do this because it takes work. It takes effort. It's called having a prayer life. It's called keeping your nose in the Bible and renewing the mind. And because things all around us all day long, it's like living in or being in a smoky room. Things in the world all around you all day long, trying to get into your thinking. And you got to constantly wash it back out. Amen. Amen. People prefer to leave things just all up to God. That's why they like that kind of church. Because there's no responsibility on me. I mean, I can just sit and live like the devil and come to church on Sunday morning and get all the blessings of God. No, honey. People like when nothing's required of me. Well, now we're going to Midland. Ah, thank you, Lord Jesus. So, let's wrap this up. Let's begin to wrap this up. Yeah, I corrected myself there. You have to mark this and don't ever forget it. God's never done you wrong. Never done you wrong. Things that you cry about today, you'll laugh about tomorrow. What you think right now, I'm so mad on you. Later, you'll rejoice. Isn't that right? Yes. Brother Hagin told the story. I hate to use the word Mary because I think Mary's here tonight. But remember the story of the guy going through a psych ward and there was a guy beating his head on the wall. Mary, Mary, Mary. What's wrong with him? He was dating Mary and Mary jilted him. Married somebody else. Whew, okay. Went down the row and turned the corner. Another guy beating his head on the wall. Mary, Mary, Mary. What's wrong with him? Oh, he married Mary. In other words, if that guy only knew what being married to Mary was like, he wouldn't be beating his head on the wall, you know. That's the way a lot of things in life are. You're just mad, and you want to quit, and you want to doubt God, and you want to Come on, throw in the towel and not go to that faith church anymore. And if you only knew. Hallelujah. God's never done you wrong. Hallelujah. He's fair. The word for it in the Bible is righteous, or he's also called just. That means he's fair. He doesn't pervert justice. He's not unfaithful to his word. You need to always stay on God's side. That's what we mean by stay on God's side. Hallelujah. He is always faithful to his own character, his own word, his promises, and to you. He's faithful to all those four. Some of those are the same thing, but say in a different way. He's faithful to his word, his promises, his character. He's faithful to his good nature. He's always good. It might not look like he's always good, but he's always good.
Always.
And he's always faithful to you. In other words, he won't fail you. Remember the Bible said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. I will not drop you. I will not. There are times it looks like he has, but he has not. He has not. He's been faithful. Praise the Lord. Now, there are things that you will understand as you keep walking with the Lord. But you won't understand it if you kind of turn against him and judge him unfaithful. That just shuts the door to you understanding. Yes, yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. What do I do with what I don't understand? Can we just wrap this up with just this? What do I do with what I don't understand? Don't entertain it in your thought life.
That's good.
Well, I was believing God and it didn't work out. Don't just let the devil hound you about that. There was a cause. But let me tell you who doesn't have the answer to that. The devil doesn't have the answer to that. And your natural mind doesn't either. You know what I'm talking about? The natural mind will come up with all kinds of things. And the devil will accommodate you in those things. You know why? Because he wants you to take some answer that's not the answer. Because if you take the wrong answer, you miss the right answer. Which keeps you from really ever receiving. Amen. This is good help tonight.
Yes, sir.
So I never get bothered anymore about these things. I never take those things into my thought life. I just stand on those words. You know, I just gave you that verse in Philippians that talks about if there's anything you're otherwise minded, God will show this to you. God will show. Do you believe he'll do that?
Yes, sir.
Do you believe the teacher's on the inside and he will guide you into all truth? Yes, he will. He will guide you into all truth. Hallelujah. Your job is just get real good at just staying on his side. Stay at, you know what I mean by that now?
Yes. Amen.
Not get miffed at him.
That's right.
Don't count him unfaithful. Stay on his side. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God has never been unfaithful to anyone.
Right.
Never.
That's right.
Never. Say it out loud. Never.
Never,
never, never.
Never,
never, never.
Never,
never, never.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Stand with me to your feet. Praise God. James 1, 16 through 21. You ought to read some of those verses. We won't go to them and read them. But those are the verses that say, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. And then it goes into the verses that say, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Remember that verse? The wrath of man. Just a verse doesn't sound like it. I don't understand what that's saying. But what he's saying is, the context is, I'm tempted of God. A man say, I'm tempted. In other words, God's putting me through this. He's not doing me fair. He's not doing me right. The context, when he said, the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God, he's talking about a man getting mad at God. He said, the wrath of man towards God doesn't work the righteousness of God. In other words, that's not how you receive what he has for you. It doesn't make righteousness work. So let's just stay away from it. Well, I don't need this, Pastor. There's a lot of people you come in contact with that need this. Amen. I said, amen.
Amen.
getting angry at him, or me getting angry at him, I don't, but I'm saying if I ever would, or you ever do, it just means you don't know him. Just means you don't know him. What's the answer to that? Not getting angry. Amen? I said not getting angry. It means you don't know him, and it also means you're not going to know him anymore anytime soon. You're stuck. Getting angry, you're stuck. Amen? And there's a way to get unstuck. And that is repentance. That just simply means turn and go a different direction. Turn and go. Don't go down that angry path. Amen. Does this help anybody tonight? Count him faithful. Amen. Count him faithful. Hallelujah. I said, count him faithful. Count him faithful. Even when you don't understand, count him faithful. Count him, judge him, decide that he is. Examine all the evidence, and we're talking about the evidence. Examine the Bible. Examine the Bible. This is where we base our doctrine on, not our experience. Examine this. He's faithful. I maybe didn't receive. Maybe I didn't understand everything, but he was faithful. Hallelujah. That keeps your heart open rather than all closed. You probably meet people like this at work regularly. Well, I went to church and somebody did me wrong, and you know, God didn't stop it, and you know. Ah. You know, this was the whole issue in the book of Job. This was the whole issue in the book of Job. For 38 chapters, they sat and talked about, and God came at the end of that 38 chapters and basically, paraphrasing, said this. They sat and talked about something for 38 chapters. They didn't know what they were talking about. Yeah. Yeah. His wife came and said, curse God and die. And he would not do it. He would not get mad and say, God, why'd you let all this happen to me? And die. Job said, no, I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. I might not understand everything, but I'm not. See, Job didn't even know about the devil. He didn't know there was such a critter. There's no evidence in the book of Job. We know what God said about Satan going, but Job didn't know all that. And so he's accusing God of all these things that Satan did. Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Lift up both hands. Father, say this out loud. Say, Father God, I stand before you with humility tonight. I thank you for your word. Thank you that you never fail. I might have failed, but you've never failed. You're faithful. I judge you faithful. If in anything I've been angry towards you about anything that's in my life or anything that happened, forgive me. You were not unfaithful to me. I stay on your side. Hallelujah. I keep an open heart. Even that which I don't understand, I ask you to teach me. Give me ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to me. And I know, according to your promise, you will reveal it to me. You're faithful. You're faithful to do that for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where I've not borne fruit. Say it out. Where I have not borne fruit, I will begin to bear fruit. Because I'm going to let the washing of the water of the word wash away all that criticalness of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, I'm going on up. I'm going on in. I'm going on in the blessings of God. Because I count you faithful. Hallelujah. Amen. We gave those verses in James, you know, when a man's tempted, don't get angry at God and say, you know, that doesn't make God do the right thing, you know. But then it says, receive with meekness the engrafted word that washes. See, that's what has to happen. Where we think things are a certain way, we have to be washed washed in our minds from that kind of thinking. Amen?
Amen.
Woo, and guess what will happen? Just like for Sarah, we'll begin to receive again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. You know, you can go back and pick up things you dropped and let go and say, Lord, I see where I judged you. I see where I sided against you on that. You never sided against me. I'm going back to pick that up. Show me what I need to see. Give me eyes to see. And he'll bring you right on into it. It might be step by step. But as you see the light and you walk in the light, progress will be made. What's your alternative? Doing without is your alternative. Well, what if it takes a year? Well, that's better than 5 years. Praise the Lord.